Today's Mishnah in Masechet Parah, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKadosh, is Perek Yud Aleph, Mishnah Gimel. So we've been talking about this new issue of a Mokom Tahor, and we said it even was included in the Tzamit Posil. We talked about the various levels of Sveikes that would be Nagea, Teliya by Truma, or Sorfim by Truma, or Tohar by Truma, and how they would apply to Chatas. And today we want to give you an example which brings up a lot of the issues all in one example. So we get a better sense of what some of these issues are and how they would impact an actual case. So let's imagine a case where a Dvela shel Truma. Now you've got this beautiful Dvela. Remember, a Dvela is a fig cake that's been pressed together. They used to sell that as like an actual cake. They would cut pieces of it. And it's perfectly tahor, obviously. It's good truma. We took it directly from Barnea. You couldn't have a better heksher. It certainly was kept, probably even in clay even, you know, around the Rova Hardoni, where about?
Sivan in clay.
There we go. Barnea has even dedicated one of his kelim as an example to the Israeli Museum. So this is a wonderful, wonderful dvela. The guy takes his dvela of truma, and oh my gosh, whoops, it falls into the water that was mekudesh with the efrachatas. So the guy says, oh my gosh, there goes my dvela, sticks in his hand, and he takes the dvela out of the water. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, do we have problems? Ay, 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 ay. What's worse is...
it was hard pressed.
That's just amazing. So what's worse is that then he ate it. So he takes it out of the water and he eats it. That's sort of an unthinking thing that you do, you know. Everything is tar. This guy's straight out of the mikveh to eat his truma. I mean, everything is wonderful. What's the din? So first let's talk about how big is the dvela. So remember, ochlin in the shear of a kibetza are able to be metame other things. So if this dvela has a shear of a beitza, and even if it's completely tar for truma, remember that something that's tar for truma is considered to be tame when it comes to chatas, right? So it really doesn't matter to us whether this dvela really was tame or whether it was tar and we're calling it tame. To baint me, baint or whatever its state was initially, when it falls into the water is kaput if it's big enough to be metame. So in other words, if it's a kibetza, then the mayim became tame because they touched eichlin that were tameim for chatas, and they become, even if they were totally tar, remember, even a tohar lekedesh or letruma is considered to be tamei lechatas. That's one of the malas of the paraduma that we had. So now what happens is that the water itself became tamei. But the crazy thing is that the guy who grabbed it and ate it is going to be chayav misa b'dei shamayim. Because now, let's understand what happened. The moment that he took it, he became tame because of getting in touch with the mechatas. And mechatas are metame, the person who is tahor. Now he becomes a tame, and he's eichel this truma betumas haguf, and therefore he's chayav misa bidei shamayim. Now he isn't really chayav misa bidei shamayim for numerous reasons. First of all, in this case, the dvela itself also became tame. And therefore, if a tame beguf eats truma tameya, then the din is that he's not chayev misa. It's only if a tame begufo eats truma tahira that he's chayev. So therefore, it does not mean seriously that he's chayev misa. Furthermore, according to many shitas, the fact that it's a dvela doesn't give it a din of truma ever, because there's no such thing as a diorisa of truma on peres, only on those things Dagan Tirosh V'Yitzar, that the Torah mentions, in which case figs are not really Chayav in Truma. So then that would mean that this Truma is only a Truma Derabbanan. So how could it be Chayav Misa and a Truma Derabbanan? Fine, okay, so the Mefarshim understand this to mean, as the Gra explains, it means that this is the type of thing that under the correct circumstances, could even lead him to be Chayav Misa. We're just talking about it's the type of Isser, which includes in it, under the right circumstances, or the very wrong ones, a Chayav Misa B'nei Shammai. So we're just trying to impress you with the nuttiness of what can happen with doing something that's totally innocuous. Now, what about if it wasn't the size of a Beitza, and therefore it doesn't have a Shear to be metame the mechatas? Okay, so then the mechatas remains tar, hamayim torim, because it was not a shear for tuma. The rabbanon weren't gezer that a mashu is metame. It's not such myla by pora. Problem is that the person would still be chayav misa for eating it, because in this case he himself, by touching the mechatas, when he put his hands in there in order to grab that dvela, he became tame because of the nogea b'mechatat. So he's tame ad arav. So if that's the case, he would be chayav misa for eating the truma. Over here, the truma itself actually remains tahor. So the din is he would be chayav misa. And the truth is that we've got a little bit of a problem. And that's because the gross shita was before, when we had the machlokas between Reb Eliezer and the Chachomim, so we had the Rashi's shita, the Rambam shita, and the gross shita. Remember? The gross shita was that someone who is tohar for chatas is never going to be mekabel tuma at all, even if he was nogea in the mayim, shalolet tzorech hazoya. So he paskins against the Rambam, who says that for shalolet tzorech hazoya, so in that case, there would be no tuma on him. So if that's the case, there would be no possibility of talking about a Chayav Misa over here. So he actually takes out, because of the Shita and the Mishnah earlier, he has to take out this piece of the Mishnah, that im ein ba kebetza, he says lo garsina. But that would be true, definitely, according to the Shita of the Gra. According to the way we understood the Rashi, or certainly the way we understood the Rambam, the Mishnah makes still perfectly good sense. Okay? And in this case, there wouldn't be a Chayav Misa either, because, according to the Gra, because he's not Tamei B'Tumas HaGuf, it's just that the Truma, in this case, would be Truma Tameya. And okay, then we don't say that there's a Chayav Misa. Okay, but it means this is the type of Isser that involves Misa. Now, Rabbi Yossi says, I say that in the event that B'Tahira, the Mayan is Tahirin. And if the Mayim is Tahirim, so then it would mean that there's no way that the person who is, or the fruits that are Torah L'Truma, Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold of the Maila Asu B'Parah, that somebody who is completely Tahar is able to be Metame the Mechatas. So in this case, if the Devela was Tahar, then there was Bichlal no issue because the water remained star. He doesn't agree to the Mila at all. You know, Paschim like that, but he therefore argues fundamentally on the assertus of the Mishnah. Hator lechatas, shichnis rosh of ruba letoch mechatas. Let's talk about another curious thing. Someone is tor lechatas. According to the Gra, there's no way for him to become tamei from the mechatas. How about if he would take a bath, a regular bath, in his bathtub? What's the din? Well, the halacha is that haba rosho verubo b'mayim sheuvim, in all cases, is considered to be tamei for truma. It's because of the gzera. Remember that people thought that a nice clean bathtub is necessary in order to become tahar, and in the end, The mikveh isn't even important. It's the nice clean water at the end, so I'll skip the mikveh part. They made a gezerah, therefore, that you'll actually become tameh for truma if you get into a bathtub. Okay? So if that's the case, forget about the ma'im of the chatas. Even if he took a regular bath, he would be tameh. Because of the gezerah de rabbanon. Now, the mei chatat are ma'im she'uvim. So if he's got a bathtub full of mei chatat, forget about the problem of whether mechatat is metame. Bathtubs, bathtub water is metame. And in this case, the mechatat, which was mayim she'uvim, that started off as mayim chayim elkeli, would have been metame rosha verubo. Once he's tame, because of this overall gezerah that affects all things, not necessarily mechatas, but now he is going to go and be metame the mechatas. Wow. So then, in that case, if he was actually a Torah b'chatas, and he touches the mechatas, so then he's not going to be metame the mechatas, even, like we saw earlier, even if he is tame because he's touching the mechatas, shelo letzarech, like the Rambam. But we saw earlier that the one thing he's not going to be metame, he's not going to go back and be metame the mechatas that made him tame. Okay, so then, if that's the case, the only way that this would work would be if he went Rosh Verupo into it because of the other Gezerah. Wow. Okay. So, okay, as we've seen, therefore, there's various reasons not to take seriously the words of Ech Lachai of Misa, and we pointed out that there's one issue, you can't say it's Chai Misa because it's Peres, and therefore it's not Truma D'Oraisa. And we have the other problem, you can't be Chai Misa if the Truma itself is actually a Truma Tameh. Perek, Yud Aleph, Mishnah, Dalid. Kol HaTa'un, Biat Mayim Divrei Teira, Mitameh at HaKodesh, Viat HaTruma, Viat HaChulin, Viat HaMaaser, V'yasur al biyat hamikdash. Now a general halacha of the differences between people who needed to go to a mikveh midiraisa versus people who needed to go to a mikveh because of a tuma derabbana. So, if somebody, let's say, would have touched a sheretz, so now he needs to go to the mikveh. So now the halacha is that he becomes a rishon letuma. Now a rishon letuma can be metame even chulin. So he's metame chulin, and he actually will cause tuma for truma through that chulin, and kodesh through that truma. So in other words, he's going to make a sheni b'chulin. He's going to make a sheni b'maaser. That sheni is going to be able to make a shlishi for truma, and the shlishi will be able to make a revi'i for kodesh. So that is the most chomor that we could be talking about, where the person is a rishon because he touched an av. That person is also aser al bias migdash. Now note that it doesn't say here chayev al bias migdash, which we're going to have to talk about as we continue in the Mishnah, because we do say later on chayev, and for some reason here it only says aser. So we'll talk about that when we get to the end of the Mishnah. So he's Oser Abias Mikdash. Now, once he's Teva, La'achar Biato, once he goes into water, even though he has not yet done Erev Shemesh, and he hasn't waited till tonight. So now, what's his halacha? He is a Tvul Yom. A Tvul Yom also has a din of a Sheni, but not entirely, as we'll see. So he has a din of a sheni that he can be metame kodesh, which means that he can be metame kodesh even through negia, just in truma. So if he touches the truma, they apparently what it's trying to say over here is that they become shlishi, either truma or kodesh, and their actual tame. If he touches, if they're actually tamei and they're not just posel, that would mean that that shlishi would make a revi. So even if it's a, remember, that's the definition of the terminology. The difference between the word posel or mitamei is that if you're posel, so then that thing cannot emit the tuma that posels it. But if you're mitame, the word mitame means that it is emitting tuma. And if it touches something else, whatever something is that is sensitive to that level, low-level emissions of a shlishi bitruma, which of course would only be kodesh. But still, if you're telling me I can be mitame truma, then you're telling me that that truma is able to be mitame kodesh. Wow. Okay, so that would mean it would make a revi. Okay. Now, it would be mitame kodesh, but if it's after going to the mikveh, it would only pasul truma. And therefore, that truma would not be able to create a revi bekodesh. So that would be the difference. In the ratio we were talking about before he went to the mikveh over there, he would be mitame even truma, which would mean that he would make that truma something that could make kodesh tame. Here, he can only be mitame kodesh. So he himself becomes a sheni after he goes to the mikveh. Uposel et ha-truma, which means he can make the truma usher to eat. But if the truma touches something else, it won't be mitame. Divrei Rabbi Meir. V'chachomim omrim, we disagree. Even kodesh, he only can pasul. And that kodesh cannot make a revi. So therefore, if he touches truma or kodesh, he only pasuls b'kodesh or b'truma. That means that he's not really a sheni. He has, in certain ways, after going to the mikveh, he's attenuated the power of his original tuma, but he does not maintain the din of mamish sheni, who would still be able to make truma a shlishi. It would make kodesh a shlishi to make a revi. He does not have that power. And he's totally mutter b'chumen b'maiser. That is a given. That once he is only a sheni, he can't be metame chulen or maiser. The reference to maiser over here is maiser sheni, which has a level of kedusha. Maiser rishon is not considered kedush at all. It's just the same as chulen. But here he would be mutter b'chulen b'maiser. Now here's the rub. Im ba el hamigdash, and he went in to the area in which it's already Machane Levia, which begins with after the Shar Niknor. So he goes into the Azora, which is called the Ezras Yisrael. Then he would be Chayiv Kores even after he was Teva. So Ben Lifnei Biato, Ben Liacher Biato, the halacha is that a Tlu Yom is Oser Midiraisa to go in to the Azora. But the Rabbanan were later gozer, remember, that even to the Ezras Nashim, they also gave a level of Kedusha that a Tfuyom is not allowed to go into there, but he's not going to be Chayev. It's only the Rabbanan. But if he even went in to just the Ezras Yisrael, once he goes past Shar Niknor, he's already Chayev Kores. Now, the question is, why did it say in the Reisha that he's Otzer Abiyas Migdash, and in the Seifa it says that he's Chayev Abiyas Migdash? Shouldn't it have said the Lashon of Chayev in the Reisha also? Fascinating question. So there is very interesting, a Pirush of the Gra that says, look, the point is, in the Reisha, all we're trying to say is that Kol Haton B'Yasmayim Divrei Torah is Osir. But I can't say that Kol Haton B'Yasmayim is Chayev, because remember there's another halacha of what type of Tumas Meis is Mechayev Kores. And the din is that any Tumas Meis that a Nazir would not be Chayev to be Mimgaleach Alav. Remember we had all of those Limudim in Hilchos Naziris, that there you're not Chayev, even though you're Osir, but you're not Chayev on B'yas Migdash. So over there, we don't say Chayev, because the point was only this halacha of the difference between the Chayev of a B'yas Mayim Midivrei Torah. Masha Enkein, the end of the Mishnah is not coming to tell me any kind of klal. And therefore, if it's not coming to tell me a klal, it just wants to tell me that there's no difference between before tefillah or after tefillah. So, okay, so obviously what it's referring to is that if before tefillah you would be chayev, after tefillah, you're also chayev. That's all it's saying. It's not telling you on what you're chayev. So in that case, it's saying even after you were tevel, you could still be chayev. I'll be as migdash, which is a beautiful and perfectly rational way to write the Mishnah, probably the way you would have done so yourself. All right. May we be saved from any kind of tzara, from the sina of those who hate us, and be zeicher to Yeshua Hashem k'erev ayin, with our tefillah v'yishias amecha v'orechas achalasecha v'reim v'nasim adon. Hope to be zeicher to learn with you again tomorrow with a working internet and everything normal, if you call life today normal. Maybe we shouldn't ask for normal. That's a klola. Everything in a matzav of geula. That makes much more sense. See you then, Rabbi Asai. Chas v'shalom to only want what's normal.